Okay, today we're going to start the fourth parak. Before we do that, though, we just have a little bit more to finish. The bottom of Kaf Hamudet, Maaseh V'Gazrutani Belod. If you remember, let's just go back to the Mishnah for one quick minute. The Mishnah from the beginning of the parak. I'm Daf Yud Tet Amud Aleph. It says, three lines from the bottom of the Mishnah. Okay, and it rained before Chatzot. Amar lahem Rabbi Tarfon, su'u v'ichlu v'shatu v'asu yom tov. Okay, go out and eat and make it a holiday. V'yatzu v'achlu v'shatu v'asu yom tov. U'bau ben arbaim, and then they came back in the afternoon. V'karu halel gadol. Okay, some people say halel gadol is the hodul Hashem ki tov kevam chasdo that we say. Some people say they said it because it says, notem, just alluded to me. It doesn't say "Maspil lachol charetzon." It says "Hanotein lechem lechol basar ki le'olam chasdim." Okay, so because of that, that's why they said halel agadol. So the Gemara asks, "V'neima halel meikara?" Why didn't they say halel before they went out to eat? Abaye v'Rava da'amar travayu lefi she'ein umrim halel ela al nefesh sve'a v'keres mele'a. Okay, because and that's where Rashi here says. You have to say it on nefesh sve'a. You have to be full because it says sanotein lechem l'chol basar. And if you say sanotein lechem l'chol basar and you're starving, you don't mean it so well. I don't know if that's the only reason. It could be also this concept of feeling good. You know, that halal is supposed to be an expression of thanks. And when you're feeling sick, you're not exactly feeling thankful. So I don't know if you have to directly connect it to that pasuk or not. But it says it's not appropriate to say halal on an empty stomach. Ini, is that really true that we can't say halal on an empty stomach and we should say it after we go home and eat if that happens? The harav papa ikle the bikneset to Abi Gover. He went to the bikneset in Abi Gover, which is some. It's either a place or Rashi says maybe it's a person. It's a right here. You see that maybe they name shuls after people, which nowadays we have sometimes, or sometimes more than sometimes we have a name. So there's this shul that we're going to see mentioned a bunch of different times in the Gemara about this Beit Knesset of Abi Gover. Begazar ta'anit, and he made a ta'anit there. V'yadu lahem gshamim al chatzot. Rain fell before chatzot. Here's all these proofs that they really paskin halacha l'maaseh like we saw before, that it's ad chatzot. V'amar halel v'achar kach achlu v'shatu. Okay, so now they say, so why did they do here? They did it the reverse. So why did you say that you do it that way? And the Mishnah said you do it the reverse. Shani b'nei mechaze d'shriche b'hus shichrut. These people like to drink a lot, and because they like to drink, the concern was that they would get drunk, and therefore they wouldn't be able to say halal appropriately. So better they do it, right? There's a different interest going on here, different pulls. Hachanach seder taniyot elu. Now we're going to start the fourth parak, and again, we're going to learn all the Mishnah of the parak. Which makes it a little difficult for me to get through all of Safrai's things he has to say on the parak. So, okay. B'shlosha prakim b'shana, kohanim nosim et kapehem arba pamim biyom. There's three times a year where the kohanim go up to duchen. Okay, here they call it nisiyat kapayim. In the Mishnah, it's almost exclusively referred to as nisiyat kapayim, or yisak kapav, something like that. The la'alot l'duchan only appears in the Bavli. It doesn't appear in the Mishnah, the Tanaitic literature. Only once it's mentioned Birkat Kohanim, and that's because they're talking about specifically the bracha and the words they say. But here when they talk about the ma'amad of Birkat Kohanim, they call it Nisiyat Kapayim. There's three times a year where the Kohanim, Nosim Kapayim, four times a day. B'shacharit, b'musaf, b'mincha, u'b'ni'ilat sharim. Okay, ni'ilat sharim means, like we call it ni'ilah, and it's the time when they close the gates of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, there's actually a machloket about whether it's not Nilat Sharei Mikdash or Nilat Sharei Shamayim. We know that from Yom Kippur. Okay. So, what are these 4 days, these 3 days that we do it four times a day, Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha, Nilah, B'taniot, U'b'mamadot, U'b'yom HaKippurim. Okay, there's already a big problem in this Mishnah. Okay, what's the problem in this Mishnah?
4 times.
What's this 4 times? Ni'ilah, we now learn, which... In case you didn't know, they used to say Ne'ilah on fast days also, okay? When there's a fast day that they're koveya for an event, they do Ne'ilah. Ma'amadot, what are Ma'amadot? Ma'amadot are, there were 24 Mishmarot Kehuna, and then 24 Mishmorot Leviyah, and then they also instituted at a certain point, I tried to figure out at what point in history, I couldn't find it this morning, but at a certain point in history, they instituted that Jews, you know, regular Yisraelim, or some people say even it was a mixture of Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, that would pray, they would come together to pray while they were doing the Korbanot, that the Korbanot would be accepted. They were a group of people. They're also, they would, we'll see from this Mishnah, that they often prayed in their cities. They gathered in the cities, not necessarily all in Beit HaMikdash, although it seems like there was a group that would go to Beit HaMikdash, the people who lived locally, and the other people would go, would stay further on the, right, in their cities. And the idea was that if the Korbanot Tzibur were going on and people have no connection to it, right, the idea was to have Nitzigiyut, you know, representation of the Yisraelim in this aspect of Hakravat Korbanot. In Safra, he even mentioned that it goes a little bit with the idea that the machloket, prushim and tzdukim, about whether you can buy the korban with individual money, that the tzdukim said, and the prushim said, no, it's all the klal, it has to be everything klali, and that this was a way of the prushim also saying, we're a part of this, and it has to be a tziburi thing, and it has to be belong to the tzibur. I think part of it probably came from the need of the people to pray, which, right, the first earliest prayers come from the ma'amadot. There is no prayer, set prayer before that, and this is really the first set prayers, which could have been, again, after the Churban of the Bayit Rishon, and then people needed something in place of Korbanot, right? There was a time when people didn't daven, only when they had something they needed, and the ma'amadot were a way of the people getting together to pray, to be involved. There's also, according to most opinions, it seems that it wasn't everybody, though. The way the kuhuna was split up equally, right? And as everybody had a turn. Here it doesn't seem like they split up all of Israel. How did they choose? Maybe they only chose the best. You know, they were handpicked people that had special schuyot that could daven appropriately and, you know, could represent the people appropriately. It seems like they were handpicked. Okay, I'm sure it was complicated how they handpicked those people, as we all know. Okay, so now, what's the problem here?
Musaf,
right? You don't say Musaf on Taniyot, and there's a machloket about whether they said Musaf on the Ma'amadot also. It's, was there, right, what does it mean, Musaf? Was there a tefillat Musaf on the Ma'amadot? What do you mean? There's no extra korbanot, they shouldn't be davening. So here, there's different versions. I meant to bring the Tosefta, I forgot. But Safra quoted the Tosefta here, which says that, we'll see the Gemara asks and answers the answer that they answer, but Safrai brings in here the Tosefta, and he says that the Tosefta in the beginning of Perek Shlishi here says, B'shlosha prakim kohanim nosim et kapihem arba'a pamim biyom, b'shachar b'chatzot b'mincha u'b'ni'ila. That's one version. It says, they did it in the morning. They did it at chatzot. Maybe you could say the time of Musaf, not necessarily corresponding to the Korban Musaf. So that's one thing he quotes. And then he also quoted something about, right, it seems, look at Taniyot Mufrash B'Tosefta. Tanit Tzibur Kohanim Nosim Kapeyam Arba Pamim B'Yom. And where it says it explicitly, that it's four times. B'Gam B'Tanit Hayta Tefillat Musaf. Okay, he claims that maybe there was also a tefillat musaf, whether they added the six brachot or not is a separate question. But he claims that it's very likely that there was musaf in the taniyot, like a tefillah, even though there wasn't a korban. There was, and then what they do, they added an extra tefillah, and the same thing in the ma'amadot. So it could be there were, it could be there weren't, it could be that they did it four. There's three options. One is that there really wasn't musaf and they did it four times. The second option is that there wasn't musaf, but they did it at chatzot, like this version of the, as they added an extra berkat kohanim on that day, in the middle of the day, because there's, you know, the morning, there's the evening, right, and they just added an extra one. But again, like, you add it onto what?
Was that time where they, you see from what we're just learning before, that break.
That was the cutoff point. Ah, interesting. That's, I like that.
Right. Makes sense to me.
Right, so what you're saying is really that the chatzot was that turning point. If there wasn't, the rain didn't come, then we have to do something else and add a berkat kohanim. I like that idea. Okay, and then the Bavli is going to give a third. I'm not going to give it away. Well, suspense. See what the Bavli says. Okay. Elohein ma'amadot. Okay, so now they want to explain, right? Sometimes the Mishnah just assumes you know what they're talking about, but here they actually say these are the ma'amadot. Okay, so now instead of saying these are the ma'amadot, they more explain what's the background to the fact that they started these ma'amadot. Okay, so lefisha ne'amar tzavet b'nei Yisrael korbani lachmi. Okay, command b'nei Yisrael to bring the korban tamid every day. B'ki he'af korbano shel adam karev v'hu'eino omed al gabav. Right? How could it be that your korban is being sacrificed and you're not standing there? Obviously, this isn't a halachic thing, because halachically, you can send a shaliach to do lots of things for you, and especially korbanot, it comes up all the time. The people who send shlichim, most of the time people weren't there while the korban was being sacrificed. So it's not necessarily a halachic thing, but they're saying this is where the idea came from. The people are bringing korbanot for you and you're not there. Hitzkinu nevi'im harishonim. Okay, which is generally assumed to be, you can see a Rashi, the Gemara is going to explain, but Rashi brings it now, Shmuel v'David. Okay, in the time of Shmuel and David, okay, it's interesting, we compared it the other day that it was different from Beit Eli. It almost seems from here that if Shmuel and David were the ones involved, that almost the doing the Mishmarot was a reaction to Eli and Pinchas and all the corruption that was in the Kehuna, when the Kehuna was just in one family's hands, and that maybe it was a reaction to that. Hitzkinu nevi'im rishonim esrim v'arba'a mishmarot. Al-kol mishmar u'mishmar hayam ma'amad. So now we're jumping a little bit in history, though, because it's clear from the time of David and Shmuel, first of all, there weren't ma'amadot at that point. Okay? What?
No.
So in the Torah, it doesn't seem to connect it. In the Tanakh, it doesn't seem to connect it really with Shmuel. Some people say, what's Shmuel doing here? It was really David. It's Miyuchas to David in Dibrei Yamim. This list of the Mishmarot, but it only talks about Mishmarot Puna. It doesn't talk about Mishmarot Levian. It doesn't talk about the Ma'amadot, which clearly were later developments. But here they're connecting it to when they started with Mishmarot. I'll call Mishmar or Mishmar Haya Ma'amad. So every time there was a Mishmar, there was another Ma'amad b'makbil. B'Yerushalayim. Shel Kohanim, Shel Levim, v'Shel Yisraelim. Here it's where it's unclear. Is the Ma'amad made of Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim? Or is the general thing, idea of Mishmarot, have Kohanim for Mishmarot, Levim, Mishmarot, and Yisrael, Ma'amadot, or was it everybody? Okay, so there was always a Ma'amad in Yerushalayim. Higi azman ha-mishmar la'alot, Kohanim v'Levim olim li'Yerushalayim, v'Yisrael shabotu mishmar mitkansim la'arihem v'koim b'maseh bereshit. Okay, so now we see that they would all go up to Yerushalayim, but again, it doesn't mention, but obviously the Ma'amadot, whoever was in Yerushalayim, would come to the Beit HaMikdash, but anyone who wasn't would gather together in their city. So if you're a Kohen or a Levi and you have to work in the Beit HaMikdash, you would go all the way there. But if you were a Yisrael in the Ma'amad, or maybe Kohanim and Leviim who were in that Ma'amad that week, if that included also Kohanim and Leviim, then you would stay in your city, you would gather together, okay, like mitkansim, like in a Beit Knesset, they would get together. B'korim b'maseh bereshit. Okay, now there's this section that's in parentheses. We'll read it, but it's unclear whether it's part of the Mishnah or not. B'anshei ma'amad hayu mitanim arba yamim b'shavua, miyom sheni v'ad yom chamishi. Okay, they would fast Monday through Thursday, right? Normally we did fast Monday and Thursday. Here they fast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Below hayu mitanim erev Shabbat mepnei kvod haShabbat. Below be'echa b'Shabbat kadesh shelo yitzu mimenucha ve'oneg ligi'a v'ta'anit v'yamutu. Okay? Whether, right, this by the way does not appear in a lot of the Kitvei Yad, this whole section. Okay? A lot of the manuscripts. It doesn't appear. But it does appear in a little bit here and there, so we'll read it. But according to this, and I think if I remember correctly, there's a different version in the Gemara of this, so we'll see. But they didn't fast on Erev Shabbat because of Kvod Shabbat, or maybe it seems from the Gemara, as far as I remember, that the Gemara later didn't have this version in front of it. Okay, we'll see when we get to it. They wouldn't fast Erev Shabbat because of Kvod Shabbat. They didn't want to go into Shabbat fasting. And Lo Be'echa B'Shabbat on Sunday, because to go from a nice, pleasant day to a fast day, right? We all know sometimes we get worked up before a fast. You're worried what's going to be. So we don't want to do that. So therefore, they didn't fast on Sunday also. Yeah.
I don't understand. They would fast any of these days in the middle of the week?
No, they would fast all of those days. 4 days in a row, they would fast.
Like a Ramadan fast?
So right, probably like a Ramadan fast. Because they want what's the idea of the Ma'amadot? They want to pray that the korbanot get accepted. It's like a...
Soon? Yeah. You know, because here we're talking in the sense that if Hashem is punishing us by not giving us rain, then therefore we should call it tani.
Right, but here it's just...
They're taking the most extreme type of tani just because of Hakorah.
So first of all, I'm not sure it's the most extreme type of tani. There was probably, especially if they fasted 4 days in a row, they probably just did from morning till... Shkia,
yeah,
and ate at night,
no
like a Ramadan
thing.
But yeah,
where
we have 4 days in a row. The only other time we have it is Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Some people would fast every day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. That's why some people say Slichot come before, because they want to have 10 fasts and 10 special days, and that's why they start a few days before, so you can end up with one of the opinions as to why we start on the Motzei Shabbat before is to allow us to have 10 days of Slichot and Ta'aniyot if people want to fast. So we do have something of it, although it's not like a Chiyuv. But yeah, it is interesting that we do something of 4 days in a row. Right. I agree. Okay. So now, what else would they do? They would read Maaseh Bereshit. Okay, so they would read Bayom HaRishon, they would read Bereshit V'yihi Rakia. Okay, they would read about Maaseh Bereshit for the first day and the second day. B'sheni, they would read Yihi Rakia, day number 2, V'yikavu Amayim, day number 3. B'shlishi, Yikavu Amayim, V'yihi Ma'orot. Okay, every day they read about what was created that day and the next day. B'rivi'i, Yihu Ma'orot, V'yishritzu Amayim. B'chamishi, Yishritzu Amayim, V'totzei Ha'aretz. B'shishi, V'totzei Ha'aretz, V'yichulu Hashamayim. Okay, so they would read two sections. We're going to see later in the Gemara about why they read two sections, and you know it seems that there were not enough psukim. You have to read a minimum amount of psukim to have aliyot, and then they wouldn't have enough psukim. Or not necessarily for aliyot, but just to read a section, it has to have a certain minimum amount of psukim. We're going to get to it later. Parsha gdola korino tabishnayim vaktana biyachid. So if it's a parsha gdola, so you read, two people would read it, if it's longer, because some of these sections are longer than others. Some are 3 psukim, some are 2 psukim, some are, or maybe they're all at least 3, but some are 5 or 6 or 7. So if it was longer, then 2 people would read it. Baktana v'yachid. Okay, even in the long ones aren't very long. It's not like long compared to our readings that we have, you know, long aliyot. B'shacharit u'b'musaf u'b'mincha, nechnesim v'korin al pihen, ki korin et shema. When it gets to Shacharit, Musaf, and Mincha, here you see about Musaf, right? They're talking about the Ma'amadot, and they mention Musaf here in the Mishnah. They would get together. Again, is it the time of Musaf, or is it Musaf actually? They would get together and read them Baal Peh, Ki Korin et Shema. Okay, they wouldn't read it from a Sefer Torah, right? Like a real Kriah. But they would just read it, you know, not necessarily with a Nigun and Ta'amim. They would just read it like they read Shema. Okay, we had this before with the Kohen. Do you remember? I was trying to remember exactly how it went in Yoma. First he would read it, and then he would say it Baal Peh. Remember there was something the Kohen got on Yom HaKippurim. He would, or someone would read, they would read something, and then they would just read it Baal Peh. They wouldn't, the later stage was without reading it inside or something. Erev Shabbat b'mincha lo hayu nechnesim mipnei kvod Shabbat. Okay, Erev Shabbat, Mincha time, they wouldn't get together. Okay, because then they were getting ready for Shabbat. It wasn't a good time to get together. We know this also. We always, Mincha and Shabbat is never like, if it's a fast day, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu and Mincha, which we would normally do on a Yom Chol. Okay, Kol Yom Sheyesh Bo Halel, Ein Ma'ama B'Shacharit. Okay, then on days when there was Halel, which is basically, right, for the most part, we're talking about Rosh Chodesh, I think. I don't think there would be another day. Right, because the Ma'amadot, right, because the Ma'amadot, we get together and fast. But you couldn't fast if it was a holiday, right? So when they're talking about the Ma'amadot and the fasting and the extra stuff, they would say it wouldn't happen on a regular holiday. But if it was a day where there was halal, like on Rosh Chodesh, Ein Ma'amah B'Shacharit. Okay, they wouldn't do the extra tefillah in Shacharit because it would be too long to do halal and the Ma'amadot. Korban Musaf. Ein b'ne'ila. If it's a day where there was korban musaf, then they wouldn't do all these extra things in ne'ila because it was too much. There wasn't enough time in the day to do the extra korbanot and the other stuff. Korban etzim, so which also makes it complicated because if there's a korban musaf, then if every day, I'm trying to think about this now, if every day there's musaf and the ma'amadot, like they said, then they would never do it in ne'ila. Right. It doesn't make any sense, this line. So how do they, korban musaf, Right. I'm going to just see something if he addresses this in Safra's book. It's a complicated one. How would you say that? Korban Musaf. I guess it means if there was a Korban Musaf that was extra, like Rosh Chodesh. In other words, Rosh Chodesh she'en bo hala'ah. Oh, so interesting. He's saying halel here is not the way I said it. He's saying Korban Musaf will be a day where there's extra korbanot for a different reason. Not for the ma'amado, but for a different reason. There's an extra korban because it's Rosh Chodesh. That would be Korban Musaf, and then you wouldn't say it in the ilah. But on halel, so I guess Hallel could be on a holiday, and then we're just talking about the extra tefillot that the Anshei Mamad, maybe they weren't fasting, but they were saying extra tefillot. The extra tefillot that they would say on a day when there was Hallel, then they wouldn't, but what day would be Hallel without Musaf? Hanukkah. Ah, yafeh, that would be it. Hanukkah. Okay. Yafeh. Okay, so fine. So the first is Hanukkah, Yom Shesh Bo Hallel, and the second would be Rosh Chodesh. Okay, it's interesting, since each of these is only one time a year, it's interesting that they don't say Hanukkah or Rosh Chodesh, right? But probably they're not specifying because they want to say, if you say Hallel, then the saying of Hallel is basically going to replace, right? It's almost like, number one, it's because of that, because it's not enough time, because we're busy with the Musaf, or we're busy with Hallel. And number two, maybe it comes in place, we don't need it as much, maybe because we have Hallel, or we have this Korban Musaf. The Korban Musaf doesn't work as well. Maybe you could say Hallel, it's already like a tefillah, and therefore they don't need to say the extra stuff. Okay, Korban Eitzim Ein B'Mincha. I don't know if you recall, but we talked about this before, that there was a Korban Eitzim, there were people who would bring Eitzim for the Maracha. Right, the Beit HaMikdash was the Maracha, where all the trees that they used to burn on the Mizbeach, and there was a special event, the day, it was a family event, right? If you were the family whose job it was to bring the trees, and the day that you brought the trees, we're going to see also now a whole list, if there were special days of the year that were each family was designated to bring. And then there was a question what they did. Did they bring a sacrifice, or did they burn the Eitzim on the Maracha, and that was their sacrifice? So either they did some sort of special sacrifice, again, whether it was animal sacrifice or whether it was a tree sacrifice, they would burn something on the Mizbeach. And for them, it was a holiday, and then they were busy with that, and therefore, you wouldn't say that the Mamado wouldn't work during Mincha, because they were busy then. Dibre Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo ben Azai, kach haya Rabbi Yeshua shoneh. Rabbi Yeshua learned it, not the way you learned it, but a different way. Korban Musaf, ein b'mincha. Okay, he doesn't disagree with the Hallel, he just disagrees with the Musaf. If there's a Korban Musaf, then you don't say the tefillot during Mincha, but not during Ne'ilah. Korban Eitzim, ein b'ne'ilah. And when you do the Korban Eitzim, then you don't say it in Ne'ilah, and not on Mincha. Okay, he switches them. Chazar Rabbi Akiva liot shoneh ben Azai. Okay, and then Rabbi Akiva basically agrees with Ben Azai and says, you're right, and he switches his opinion. Zman atzei kohanim va'am. Okay, now what's the time of the Zman atzei kohanim? Okay, Zman atzei kohanim va'am tisha. There were 9 days. Becha b'nisan b'nei orach ben Yehuda. Makes sense, on the first of Nisan, right? The first day of the year, somebody would bring for the first day of the year. Although I have to say, I don't know why, it's not distributed equally throughout the year. You'll see some come right after one after the other. I don't know the reason for that. Becha b'nisan b'nei orach ben Yehuda. Be'esrim b'tamuz, right? That's a big hefresh between Echa b'nisan and Esrim b'tamuz. B'nei David ben Yehuda, that comes from the family of David. Bechamisha ba'av, B'nei Parosh ben Yehuda. It's interesting that they were having celebrations, right? 4 days before Tisha B'Av. And 2 days before. B'shiv Abo, B'nei Yonadav ben Rechav. B'asara bo, B'nei Sina'a ben Binyamin. B'chamisha sarbo, B'nei Zatu ben Yehuda. V'imahem Kohanim. Okay, now when they went on the Chamisha sarbo, okay, we have 4 dates in Av. The 5th, the 7th, the 10th, and the 15th.
Remember we learned when we have these family things, they can
override,
so
right?
Shabbat, so that's probably
right.
Why it didn't matter,
right? And I think when we had it, it was this that we used as
that
proof.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
right.
I think it was from here. You remember the base Nesna ben Binyamin? We saw them before, not so long ago. B'chamishasar bo b'nei zatu ben Yehuda, and when they would do it, imahem kohanim v'leviim v'chomish et ha'ab shifto. Okay, people who didn't remember which shevet they belonged to, which family, in terms of bringing this. You see, they're all from Yehuda, by the way. Okay, this is unclear who exactly these people are. There's different opinions about who they were. There were people who worked in certain things. There's different opinions about what exactly these people are. Be'esrim bo b'nei pachat Moab ben Yehuda. Okay, another guy. Be'esrim be'elu b'nei Adim ben Yehuda. Be'echa b'tevet shebo b'nei parosh. Shavu b'nei parosh shnia. Okay, the last day at Anacha b'tevet, they go back to the b'nei parosh. Okay, I guess there were only eight. There were eight groups, but one did it twice. Be'echa b'tevet. Now we're just talking about things that are unique about certain of these days. Bechabatevet lo hayabo ma'amad. They didn't have a ma'amad at all. Why? Shayabo halel, vikorban musaf, vikorban itzim. It had all three of these. Okay? Right? Double bingo? Okay. So what do you have? Halel because it's Rosh Chodesh, korban musaf because it's Hanukkah, vikorban itzim because it's the day that family, the B'nai Parosh, would bring, and therefore there was no room for the ma'amad. There were too many things going on. Overwhelmingly busy in the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore they didn't say. Chamisha dvarim eru adavatena b'shivasar b'tamuz. Now we're getting back into fast, and we're going to say five things. This is the famous Mishnah about the five things that happened on Shivasar b'tamuz and the five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. Okay. B'shivasar b'tamuz v'chamisha v'tisha B'Av. B'shivasar b'tamuz nishtabru haluchot. Okay, right? The luchot were broken. The first luchot. Ubatel hatamid. The korban tamid was no longer the question. This is in the first Beit HaMikdash or the second? It's a good question. Batel hatamid.
There's a question.
Right. We don't know. Okay? In the Yerushalmi, it says it was bimei machut yavan. Okay? In the time of the Yivanim, that they wouldn't allow us to do the korban tamid. Okay, v'hu amad telem behechal. Okay, this is in the time of Menashe. We talked about him. He was the son of Yoshiyahu. Okay, so toward the end of the Bayit Rishon. B'saraf apostamus et ha-Torah. Okay, this was, right, what generation was this? I don't know. But there was this event where he burned the Torah. V'hemid telem behechal. Okay, and he put up. I'm sorry, I skipped that before. Okay, that goes after. Sarapa posmus parabehem mid selim behecha. Okay, b'tisha ba'av nigzar alavotenu shelo yikansu la'aretz. That's the miraglim, right? When they vayivku am, and Rashi says there, they right. God said to them, you know, you cry b'chia for no reason. I'll give you a reason to cry on this day. Nigzar alavotenu shelo yikansu la'aretz b'charav habayit b'rishona u'bashnia. Okay, b'nilkeda beitar. Okay, that was. I assume that was during the revolt of Bar Kokhba. V'nechresha ha'ir. Okay? Did I skip huvka'ir? You know what? I wasn't reading carefully. Yishabu l'chot botel tamid huvka'ir. I skipped this in the first one. Right? Huvka'ir. This they assume is Bayit Rishon. Okay? When the walls of the city fell. Okay? One second. I want to just... Oh, it says Bayit Sheni? So interesting. So he says... In Safra's book, Hatamura Babli Meniach Ki Kavanata Mishnah L'Chora L'Bayit Rishon. But then they ask on it. Right. That's what it is. Sorry. So the Gemara is going to ask about it and then say that it's in Bayit Sheni. Right. Because there's problems with the Psukim. The Psukim say the Huvka'ir on a different day. Right. We're going to get to that in the Gemara. I just want to see something. So then there's different things about the Tzelem B'Hechal. Okay, we'll try to get into, hopefully the Gemara relates to these things. Right, so Nilkeda Beitar is definitely Merib Bar Kokhba. And then Nechresha Ha'ir, that's when they plow the city and it's basically, you know, left to nothing. So he says, so according to Safra, he says this isn't Shayach to Chorban HaBayit. Okay, because it doesn't connect it to the Chorban HaBayit, it appears after Nilkeda Beitar. So he claims, based on that the city was plowed down, it wasn't necessarily at the same time as it was destroyed. Okay? Some people say, in the Yerushalmi it says, Harash Rufus, or Tornus Rufus, okay, which is the, he was the Netziv of Yehuda during the Merib Bar Kochba. Okay, and then it was something that happened during the time of Bar Kochba. Okay. Mishnechnas Av Mimatim B'Simcha. Okay, when Av comes, we limit our happiness, right? The opposite of Mishnechnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. Shabbat Shechal Tisha B'Av Liyob B'Tocha Asur Mi L'Saper Umi L'Chabes U'B'Chamishim Mutarim M'Pnei Kvod HaShabbat. Okay, here this is interesting. This is not what we do, although we'll talk about who does this. Right, the week that Tisha B'Av falls, you can't take a haircut and you can't wash your clothes. U'B'Chamishim, but you are mutar to do that on Yom Chamishi, right? Which we don't do that, right? On Yom Chamishi. What do you see here? This is the minhag, the Sfaradim. I don't know if you know. The Sfaradim don't have the 3 weeks, and they don't have the 9 days. They just have Shavuot Shechal Bo. There's a minhag Ashkenazi to basically start in the 3 weeks, and then Rosh Chodesh Av. But here you see that that wasn't the basic halacha. Okay, the Ashkenazim were merchiv on this. But really from the Mishnah, it's just the week that Tisha B'Av falls out. And that's why even among Ashkenazim, we're more machmir when it comes to Shavuot Shechal Bo. Okay, but the Ashkenazim have extended it, and the Sephardim keep with really what it says here. Although I wonder if anybody does this mutar, the Anchamishi, your mutar to do anything. I don't. On the other hand, does it ever fall out that Chamishi is Tisha B'Av is
never
right? So it really can't be. There is no Shavuot Shechal Bo on nowadays, right? In the time of the Mishnah, it could have been, but now not. Okay. Tisha B'Av can never. Didn't it once come? Oh no, that was a different fast, right? Not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av wouldn't be on a Friday, but there was a There was a different fast recently that came out on a Friday. It was Tanit Aster. No, Tanit Aster would be Nidcha Asarah B'Tevet. They did it on a Friday, so right. Asarah B'Tevet could, but Tisha B'Av would never fall on a Friday now with the calendar. So there is no Shavuot Shechal Bo that would be on Thursday. Okay, Erev Tisha B'Av Lo Yochal Adam Shnei Tavshilim. Okay, you should need two different. Tavshilim lo yochal basar v'lo yishtei yayin. Okay, you shouldn't eat meat and drink wine. From Shimon ben Gamliel omer yishaneh. You should do something different. Okay, at this meal than you usually do at other meals. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev b'kfiyat hamita. He says you should turn your beds over the night of Tisha B'Av and sleep on the floor on a hard bed or you know somehow sleep in a different way. V'lo hodu lo chachamim. But chachamim say you don't need to do that. Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Lo hayu yamin tovim l'Yisrael. We're really jumping all over the calendar today. Okay, now we're moving on to Chamisha Be'av. Okay, maybe because they mentioned these dates and Chamisha Sar Be'av is one of the days we talked about that Etzim. Now he's going to talk about Tu Be'av. Amar Ben Shem Ben Gamliel. Lo hayu yamin tovim l'Yisrael k'Chamisha Sar Be'av u'k'Yom HaKippurim. Right, this is a very strange statement that the two happiest days of the year were on the 15th of Av and Yom HaKippurim. Okay, we're going to get into later. The Mishnah now, as if they're explaining why, but it's not really explaining why. It's just explaining what they did on Chamisha Asar Ba'av. We're going to get into later in the Gemara what was so unique about these days. Shebahem b'no Yisrael yotzot b'klei lavan she'ulim. The b'no Yerushalayim would go out wearing white clothes that they borrowed. Why would they borrow it? Shelo levayesh et mi she'ein lo. It's actually this nice, you can see this idea of Achdud and everybody together, right? What kind of a matzav do you have where everybody's willing to lend their clothes to everybody else? And especially, we're going to see that what were they going out? They were kind of going out to get married. So here they're helping each other to find shiduchim in a sense, right? They're making sure that everybody has white dresses. Kol hakelim tu'unim tefila, okay? All the clothes had to be toveled because they were all chashash tameh, right? We didn't want people to ask, would you in nida with these clothes, you know, nitzma'u, and therefore, and they didn't want, because if a beged with tumat midras, if you have tumat midras, it's something that a nida sits on or wears, so it would become like an avatuma, and then it would be mitameh, adam, and kelim. So they didn't want the clothes to be mitameh, anyone who touched them. Ubinot Yerushalayim yotzot v'cholot b'karmim, they go out and dance in the vineyards. Uma hayu amrot, b'chor sana einecha u're'e ma taborer lecha. Even though they're getting all dressed up, right? They say, don't pay attention to their beauty. Pay attention to her family, and you're looking for an Isha Yirat Hashem. Okay. And that, right, they will praise her for her ma'asim in the Sha'arim. That's what she will be known for. V'chein hu omer, and then they quote another pasuk that connects. So now the Mefarshim disagree what this pasuk has to do with anything. Whether it relates, Rashi connects it to Yom HaKippurim, and it's trying to show you why Yom HaKippurim was a Yom Simcha. Some people somehow connect it also to the Chamisha Asar Ba'av and not to Yom HaKippurim. Sena u'venena b'not ha'melech Tzion, b'not Tzion b'melech Shlomo, ba'at ha'rashi itralo imo b'yom chatunato. B'yom simchat libo, right? This is where the Tzena u'venena comes from, right? The book that all those women used to learn, the Tzena u'venena, because it connects in the pasuk to the b'not Tzion. Okay? You should go out and see the thing, the atara, the crown that Shlomo ha'melech's mother was decorated him with on the day of his wedding, ubiyom simchat libo, on the day of his inner happiness, ubiyom chatunato ze matan torah, biyom simchat libo ze binyan beit hamikdash yibane b'mehira b'yameinu. And they connect those days, zo matan torah, they say yom kippurim, that's matan torah, biyom shenu bo luchot achronot. Right here you see they're struggling to connect this. What does this pasuk have to do with anything? So they say, the luchot shniot we got, you can call that matan torah. Okay, I just want to see. Get to see what he says about this exactly. What's the fry says? See if he kind of adds something about this. But this pasuk is somewhat complicated. What this is really doing here in the Mishnah? Okay, I don't have time to look at it now, but maybe we'll get to it later in the Gemara. Okay, b'shlosha prakim b'shana kohanim nosim akapehem. Now we're going to get back. Now we're going to the Gemara. We're going to try. Remember, we went back to this problem of the shlosha prakim. We gave two answers so far. How could it be that on three times a year they do it four times a day when there's no musaf? Either there was musaf both in Taniyot and in the Ma'amadot, or you can say that it's Chatzot, like the Nusach in the Tosefta, and just in the time of Chatzot, and maybe as Shoshana said, that was the time, certainly for the Taniyot, that if it didn't get accepted, you would then, you realize that was the first, we passed the first stage and we didn't get answered. Let's do something extra. Taniyot Uma, but the Gemara is going to give a different answer entirely. Okay, they're going to assume the Bavli that there was no Musaf. The Bavli is under the assumption there was no Musaf and there was no extra Tefillah in Chatzot, and they're going to give a different answer. Taniyot Uma, Ma'adot, Mi Ka Musaf? There's no Musaf. So what are the answer? Now, there are those who say that Ma'adot have Musaf, and they, some of the Mefarshim have to explain differently here. They explain the Nusach differently, and they have to answer it up. It's a little complicated. But the Gemara answers, Chisur Mechas V'Hachi Ketani. There's words missing, and this is the way you should read it. B'shlosha prakim kohanim nosim et kapehem, not arba prakim b'yom, but kol zman shemitpalalim. Okay, in every tefillah of the day, whatever many tefillot there would be that day. V'yesh mehen arba prakim b'yom, and there are some, or really one, that has it actually four times a day. Shacharit u'musaf mincha v'nilat sharim. Ve'elohen shlosha prakim, taniyot u'ma'amadot b'yom ha'kippurim. Okay, and within there, you also have, right, you could say, depending on how you view the Ma'amadot, right, whether the Ma'amadot had four tefillah, had Musaf or not, you would read this differently, right? You'd say, either it's just Yom Kippur that has four, or it's Yom Kippur and the Ma'amadot have four, opposite the Taniyot, which only have three, because everyone agreed the Taniyot don't have Musaf, except if you take that Nusach of the Tosefta. Okay. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Baravua, Zo Divrei Rabbi Meir. This Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Meir. אבל חכמים אומרים שחרית ומוסף יש בהם נשיאת כפיים, מנחה ונעילה אין בהם נשיאת כפיים. Okay, the חכמים say that we only do נשיאת כפיים and שחרית ומוסף, and we don't do it in נעילה and מנחה. Okay, and therefore they would say that even on Yom Kippur and on the Ma'amadot and the Taniyot, there's none in מוסף and none in נעילה. Okay, so therefore the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. So now they say, מן חכמים, whose opinion is it according with? And we're going to see now, it's not just two opinions, it's actually three opinions. Okay, for this I charted it out for you. Man chachamim, Rabbi Yehudahi. Detanya, and here's a braita. Shacharit umusaf mincha v'ni'ila. Kulam yesh bem nisiyat kapayim, divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, according to Rabbi Meir, first we're going to see the machloka, then we're going to see what's behind this machloka. Okay, all those days we do nisiyat kapayim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shacharit u'musaf yesh b'em nisiyat kapayim, mincha v'nila ein b'em nisiyat kapayim. He splits between the morning tefillot and the afternoon tefillot. The morning tefillot have, the afternoon tefillot don't. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ni'ila yesh b'nisiyat kapayim, mincha ein b'nisiyat kapayim. Rabbi Yossi says no. It's true we split morning and afternoon. Shacharit and Musaf you have Berkat Kohanim. But in Mincha you don't. However, in Ne'ilah you do. Okay, if you notice in Yom Kippur, right, this is what we do. We have it in Ne'ilah, we don't have it in Mincha. Nesiat Kapayim. Okay, it actually, as far as I recall, there's different nuschaot. I think there's different minagim about whether you do it in Mincha, if I remember correctly. I'm trying to remember.
They do.
They do Berkat Kohanim in Mincha? In our shul, I think they don't. But I think there are minhagim that do it in Mincha, if I remember correctly. I think some people do. I'm almost 100% sure that in our shul they don't do it in Mincha.
I'm sure there's some time when David goes.
They do it in Ne'ilah, for sure.
Yeah. I think
you think even Mincha?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Mincha is like the weakest tefillah in all of it.
It's the weakest, yeah.
It's only the most pressured.
Right. But we'll see here why people don't do it in Mincha, okay? We're going to see why. Nisiat Kapayim also, they have to do it before it gets too late. That's why they rush Ne'ilah at a certain point. They have to get in Birkat Kohanim. If you want to do Birkat Kohanim, it has to be before a certain time of day. You can't do it if it's too late. And then they stretch out Avinu Malkeinu because they have to wait till the fast is over. It's one of those tricky halachic things that you have to work out well. Okay. So Mincha Ne'ilah Ein B'Nisiat, right? So Ne'ilah Yesh B'Nisiat Kapayim, Mincha Ein B'Nisiat Kapayim. So now B'Maikam Yiflegei. Rabbi Meir Savar Kol Yoma Tam Amaylo Parse Kohanei Yadayu B'Minchata Mishum Shikrut. What's the reason why the Kohanim don't, they're not pores their Yadayim, right? They don't do Berkat Kohanim in Mincha because we're worried that he might be drunk. Okay, we're going to get to later where we learn that a Kohen who's drunk can't do Berkat Kohanim. We know that a Kohen's drunk, according to the Torah, can't work in the Beit HaMikdash. But who says he can't do Berkat Kohanim, right? Nowadays especially, we're not talking about working in the Beit HaMikdash. So they say, in Mincha time, why don't they do it? Because of Shikrut. B'ha'idna leka Shikrut. But in Mincha, on a fast day, everybody's fasting. There's no concern. We're talking about Tanio, Mamado, where they fasted, and Yom Kippurim, right? I don't know. You have to think about why on the Ma'amadot, if they didn't fast, right, the days they didn't fast, how they would be able to do it, right? Unless you'd say that the Kohanim were fasting then. I don't know. Okay. So, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Shacharit u'Musaf, dekol yoma lo shchiach shechrut, lo gazer b'hu rabbanan, mincha v'ni'ilah, dekol yoma shchiach shechrut, gazer b'hu rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's true that now that on a day like today, it's a fast and nobody's eating and there's no concern for drunkenness. But what's the issue? I guess even if you're not fasting, they certainly weren't allowed to drink. I guess that was the issue. They certainly weren't allowed to drink the ma'amadot and the kohanim that were working then, right? They weren't allowed to drink, so you wouldn't have to worry about it, even if they could eat. But mincha v'ni'ilah, what's the issue? True that today they can't get drunk, but on every other day they could get drunk. And if we start to have them do Berkat Kohanim, Mincha Ne'ilah on these days, people might think that you can do them Berkat Kohanim during Mincha Ne'ilah on other days, or really Mincha, right? That's the, we're going to see. So that's why he says we're going to distinguish between morning and afternoon. Morning, on general day, there's no chashash for shikrut. Afternoon, there is. So even on a day where there's no chashash, we're going to just be gozer across the board so we don't get confused. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Mincha de'ite b'kol yoma gazru b'rabbanan. Ne'ilah de'leite b'kol yoma lo gazru b'rabbanan. There's no reason to make a gzera on Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah doesn't appear on other days. So you won't get confused and think, oh, if you do it in Ne'ilah, then you could also do it on other days. So therefore, don't worry about that. Now we have an interesting thing. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Meir. We pass on like Rabbi Meir that you do it on all four tefillot. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nahagua Am to Rabbi Meir. Not that we paskin that way, but the people were nohag to do like Rabbi Meir. Rava Amar Minhag to Rabbi Meir. The Minhag is like Rabbi Meir. So now, okay, what's the difference? Whether you say the halacha is like him, Nahagua Am, or Minhag. Manda Amar halacha ke Rabbi Meir, Darshina la bepirka. What does that mean? We had this before, by the way, something like this. If you say the halacha is like him, it means that we teach it b'tzibur. When we teach public lectures, we teach it. Man da'amar minhag, midrash lo darshinan, oruye morinan. If you say it's a minhag, then what do we say? We don't darshan this way, we don't teach it in public, but if somebody asks you a question, you can tell them. Uman da'amar nahagu, if you say nahagu a'am, what do you learn? Oruye lo morina. We don't even, if somebody asks you, you don't even tell him that that's the halacha. Vi avid, avid v'lo mahadrinale. But if he did it, then he did it, and we don't stop him. Rav Nachman amar halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. Okay, but Rav Nachman said we passed it like Rabbi Yossi that it's ne'ila and not mencha, right? V'halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. And the halacha is like him. Va'idna, my time, parse kohanayu yadayu b'minchata detanita. So then they say, well, if that's the case, then why are the kohanim nowadays do berkat kohanim on a tanit? So the answer, kevan de besamuch l'shkiyat hachama, kaparse tetvila ni'ila damya. Okay, now here there's a strange answer. It's not so clear, but the Mefarshim explain that in those days they did mincha earlier in the day usually. And on a fast day, they would do it toward the end of the day. Okay, which is interesting because a lot of people nowadays do mincha early on a fast. It's almost the opposite, right? And they usually daven mincha late in the day. So, but it seems from this answer there was the opposite, and therefore since they would do mincha samuch l'shkiyat hachama and different from what they would do on every other day, there was a distinction, and therefore it appeared more like it was tefillat ni'ila, and therefore there wouldn't be a concern, and we don't need to be gozer, this gzerah, the concern that it's more treated like ni'ila, even though we paskin like Rabbi Yossi that really you shouldn't do it in mincha. Nowadays, nowadays being their time, you could do it in mincha. Okay, maybe that's why also we have this. I don't know. I really have to look up halacha lamasa, this thing about Yom Kippur and what we do, because I don't remember exactly, and I'm pretty sure there's different minagim. Okay, we'll stop here for today.